This is Donald Tabb of the Billy Graham team with lesson number 4 of the Christian Life and Witness course. In previous classes, we have learned of the Christian's responsibilities and resources, the Christian life in balance, and the Christian's witness. In homework, you have had the opportunity to work several question and answer Bible studies. Memorize 6 Bible verses. Work several projects, including writing out your testimony and sharing, "Do you know the steps to peace with God?" with another person. I trust that by God's grace, this has not been too much for you, but rather has been a blessing. I would like to have the time to sit and share with each one of you how this has affected your own life and share the blessings of Bible study and memory in my own life. Now, you will remember our objective was threefold. First, to have a closer walk with Christ. Bible study, memory, and prayer in a time alone with God will make this a reality. As we get into the Word, as we talk to God, as we lay up passages of Scripture in our heart, and as we meditate on these passages of Scripture, we can allow God to take the Word from our head to our heart and work it out into our lives in everyday living. Second, our objective was to have a more effective witness. In Philemon, the 6th verse, in the Living Letters, we read, "And I pray that as you share your faith with others, it will grip their lives too, as they see the wealth of good things in you which come from Christ Jesus." Witnessing, we find, is just the overflow of our walk with Christ. The third objective is follow-up. Parental care for spiritual children. As our time is limited, I would like to talk through the subject of follow-up from the standpoint of a crusade. But at the same time, I would like for you to remember that there are basic principles underlying these specific steps. The heartthrob of a crusade is to proclaim the gospel of Christ to the unconverted and to give them an opportunity to respond in a definite commitment to Christ. Then to follow up by every means possible until they learn to walk with Christ and are in the fellowship of a church where Christ is preached. Now, looking in reverse order, we can see that it looks like this: fellowship in the church, hearing and responding to the gospel at the crusade, unconverted people. The place to begin thinking about follow up is unconverted friends. It's one thing to pray, "Lord, save my friends," and another to be specific. To help you be specific, we have Operation Andrew. This is Roman numeral 1 of the lesson tonight. In John, the 1st chapter, verses 41 and 42, we see Andrew, who found his brother Simon and said, "We have found the Messiah," and he brought him to Jesus. You know, you can be a soul bringer as well as a soul winner. The unconverted don't just turn up at the crusade. They must be prayed for, invited, and brought. That's Operation Andrew. Now, here it is outlined. A, we ask you to accept the challenge to begin today to pray each day from now until the crusade for at least one person by name. I'll repeat that. Pray for one person by name until the crusade, every day. B, cultivate the person's friendship. Cultivate the person's friendship. You know, you've got to win a hearing. Be friendly. There's no defense against friendliness. C, invite the person to the crusade. Invite the person to the crusade. D, bring them to the crusade. Bring them to the crusade. Maybe you'll bring them in your automobile. Maybe you will invite them to ride a bus with you. Maybe if it's convenient, you'll walk together. Make sure they get to the crusade. E, pray for them during the message and the invitation. Pray for them during the message and the invitation. And F, follow up on them or encourage them after the crusade. Follow up after the crusade. Now, you have an Operation Andrew card in your material. Would you get it out and look at it? Have you found it? I know you've got a lot of material, but it's a small card entitled Operation Andrew. Have you got it? Good. You'll notice it has room for 10 names. And you may want to follow this plan for 10 people. I hope so. But the place to start is with one. You can't get two till you've gotten one. Would you write down the name of one person right now? Is there anyone that you would like to see come to Christ? Do you have an unconverted friend that your heart has been yearning for? Would you write that person's name down right now? You don't have to be talented, just faithful. Our files are full of letters from those who worked Operation Andrew and saw God work in the lives of their friends. One young man who was in one of my Christian Life and Witness classes in the recent Heart of America Crusade in Kansas City, accepted the challenge of Operation Andrew. He prayed daily for and brought over 30 people on various nights to the crusade. 13 of those people went forward to make a commitment to Jesus Christ. Would you turn with me to the 4th chapter of the Gospel of John? John 4. You know the story here of Jesus and the Samaritan woman. Now in verse 7 we see Jesus in this encounter with the Samaritan woman. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. Now over in verse 13 and 14, Jesus proclaims, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Now we know that a dialogue follows here concerning the woman's personal sin, worship being a matter of the heart, and who Jesus really was. The woman believes him, that he is the Messiah. She puts her trust in him, evidently. and she leaves her water pot and rushes into the city. In verse 29, she says to those in the city, "Come see a man which told me everything I ever did. Is not this the Christ?" Now look at verse 39. "And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, 'He told me all that I ever did.'" Think of it. Think of those who trusted Christ that day and found eternal life, all because of the simple invitation, "Come see. Is not this the Christ?" What a challenge. If that poor woman out of the long ago could bring a village to Christ by a simple invitation, what can you do? Now remember the daily praying by name. Someone has said it's more important to talk to God about a person than it is to talk to a person about God. You know, the scripture tells us that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And he's told us in 1 John 5, verses 14 and 15, that this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions we've desired of him. God is willing that people should come to Christ, and he wants us to call upon him to work in the hearts and the lives of the unconverted. Now, for those who qualify as counselors, the next step in the outline is Roman numeral 2. Counseling procedures. This is just sort of put in here for all of you who will be qualifying as counselors. And of course, it will be informative to those who will not. Those of you who will qualify as counselors, study your My Personal Counseling Procedure Handbook. Study it diligently and restudy it. Remember, this is serious business. Also, study your little blue page on aids to problems in counseling. Also, I encourage you that if you can possibly make it, attend the counselor rehearsal. If not, this means that you must study the counseling procedure handbook and the aids to problems in counseling all the more diligently before the crusade meetings. Now, I'm not going to attempt to cover all the procedures, but I would like to cover briefly the three types of decisions that we have indicated we would do at a previous time. You've noticed in the My Personal Commitment packet, and you will also notice in the My Personal Counseling Procedures Handbook, that we have three definite divisions of decisions. The first is A, acceptance of Christ. Now, this is best determined by asking if the person has invited Jesus Christ into his life. If this is the case, you can talk briefly with the person of assurance. Using Revelation 3:20, you'll recall where Jesus says, "If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him." Using John 1:12, "As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." And also using 1 John 5:13, These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. If they are unsure, you may draw out the illustration contained in the Steps to Peace with God and go right through the whole procedure of leading a person to Christ. But don't feel that you must begin at the very beginning with every person. Remember, this is the work of the Holy Spirit. Mr. Graham has presented the facts. He's given the invitation. He's led them in prayer. Many have already accepted Christ and merely need the assurance that they can have from the Scriptures. The next type of decision is B, assurance of salvation. Assurance of salvation. Now, some inquirers will have accepted Christ sometime previous to the meeting, and they're merely coming forward for assurance. 1 John 5:13 is a good verse to share for assurance, just as you shared it in acceptance of Christ, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. The third type of decision is rededication. C, rededication. Now, some may be coming back to Christ after having drifted away in sin. They may be burdened with their sins, but they know that they've accepted Christ at some time previous to the meeting. You can share 1 John 1:9 with them. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Encourage them. You can recall that you had a project of listing your sins on a piece of paper, confessing them to God one by one, claiming 1 John 1:9 and burning the paper. Share with them how that this restores fellowship with God and how that the prayer spoke is open between the believer who has no unconfessed sin in his life and the Lord. Also under this decision may be those who are merely coming to publicly state their desire to a more complete dedication of themselves to Christ. Sin is not involved. They just want to publicly proclaim that they're going on with Christ. They want to further dedicate themselves to Him. Have prayer with them. Encourage them along the lines of a daily time with the Lord in the Word and prayer. Share the blessings of memorizing. Anything else that you feel would be a help to them in their dedication to Christ. Remember again, it's the Holy Spirit's work to woo and to draw people to commitment. You can't force people through a mold. Try to keep these things in mind. Be friendly. Share the portions of the Bible which are applicable. Have prayer together. Be sure and fill out the counseling card completely and turn in the top portion. Explain all sections of the My Personal Commitment packet and give it to the inquirer. And introduce the inquirer to an advisor. I'll go over those again. They are covered in much more detail in the My Personal Counseling Procedures Handbook. But if you'll just keep these in mind, it will help. Be friendly. Number two, share the portions of the Bible which are applicable. Three, have prayer together. Four, fill out the counseling card completely and turn in the top portion. Five, explain all sections of the My Personal Commitment packet and give to the inquirer. And six, introduce the inquirer to an advisor. Now then, follow-up begins. Roman numeral 3, follow-up. How can those that you counseled and those you invited who have made commitments be encouraged in follow-up? Well, let's list a few ways. A, when the counseling card is turned in, the pastor of the church of their choice and designation receives a letter from the co-labor corps asking him to visit them. He's encouraged to visit the person to determine if the decision was valid and to invite that person into the church. So you might just want to call A, pastoral visit, or visit by the pastor. B is the counselor's visit. We ask the counselor to visit, phone, or write the person within 48 hours after he has been counseled. C, the inquirer will get two letters from Mr. Graham and other encouraging literature. One letter will go out 4 days after the decision. Another will go out 7 days after the decision. These will be general encouraging letters, challenging the person to go on in his commitment to Christ, to walk with the Lord, and to get into the fellowship of a church where Christ is preached. D, the inquirer is encouraged by you, the counselor, to complete the correspondence Bible study and to send in lesson one. If they do so, it is graded and sent back with step number two. Then if they work a study out of step number two and send it in, step number three is sent, and so on to include step number four. E, and this is very important, they can be invited to attend one of the Bible discussion groups. They can be invited to attend one of the Bible discussion groups. In these groups of 10 or less, they can meet with other inquirers and members of the church to work a prepared Bible study, to discuss their findings, to gain understanding through their discussion, and be led by the Spirit of God to make life-changing applications of the Word of God based on their understanding. This can be one of the greatest methods of follow-up, to invite them and to go with them to one of these Bible discussion groups. And it's a natural introduction to the more formal, larger gatherings of the church. You can, as I've said before, get involved in this Bible discussion program through your church. Are you beginning to get a vision of what's involved in follow-up? It's the investment of a life. Paul says in Galatians 4:19, "My little children of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you." Galatians 4:19, "My little children." We don't bring a baby home from the hospital, place him in the kitchen, point to the refrigerator or the pantry and say, "Now there's the beefsteak, here's the milk, here's the can, there's the can opener, go to it," and leave him alone. No, we care for him carefully, We feed him with milk. We change him. We love him. And on and on. When a person accepts Christ, John 1:13 says, which are born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. It takes individual care for these babies. Moses gave Joshua this individual care. Elijah gave Elisha this individual care. Now, true, Jesus ministered to the multitudes, but he invested in the 12, and especially 3 of the 12, Peter, James, and John. Now, babies need certain things. Number one, they need feeding. In 1 Peter 2:2-3, we read, "As newborn babes, desire ye the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." Babies need feeding. Number two, babies need protection. In 1 Peter 5:8, we read, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." Nothing angers Satan any more than seeing a person take that step of committal to Jesus Christ. And he's roaring about, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. Babies need protection. Babies need fellowship and encouragement. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, we read, "Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they shall fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe unto him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up." Babies need fellowship and encouragement. Help along the way. Now let me ask you a very personal question. Are you willing to invest your life? Jesus said in John 12, verse 24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." Are you willing to die to self and live to God? May I close with Isaiah, the 58th chapter, verses 10 to 12. Would you turn with me to Isaiah, the 58th chapter, verses 10 to 12? And we'll read it together. Would you read along silently as I read these three verses? And then we'll discuss them for a moment. Beginning at the 10th verse. "And if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness shall be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. And they that be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in." If you're willing to invest your life for God, if you're willing as that corn of wheat to fall into the ground and die, if you're willing to pour out your soul in prayer, in investment, in others' lives, what does God say you'll do? He says, then your light will rise in obscurity. Then your darkness will be as noonday. Then He will guide thee continually. Then He will satisfy your soul. Then you'll be like that watered garden. And not only that, but they that be of thee, those that you've invested your life in, those that you've poured your soul out to, shall build the old waste places. They won't just be hearers. They'll be doers of the word. They'll carry it on into another generation and into many generations, it says. The foundations of many generations. And thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. I believe that this is what is on God's heart. The investment of a life in that of another. This is what follow-up is. The investment of a life. Shall we pray? Our dear Father, we thank You tonight that You were interested enough in us to invest Your life. That You left heaven's glory and came down and dwelt among men and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That You literally invested Your life in our lives. How we thank You tonight. And our Father, we pray that You would give us a vision and a heart to invest in the lives of others. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.